Hey mama, welcome to the Mums Can podcast, a bi-weekly show to encourage, empower and educate mums of faith around the world on how to be confident in who God made them and to live out the purpose he has for their lives. My name is Kashina and I am a wife to an awesome husband, a mum to beautiful triplet girls and an adorable son. I am on a mission to help mums be the best versions of themselves by sharing stories, tips and tricks of everyday mums doing extraordinary things in God's strength. Have you ever tried to start a business, but everything that could go wrong went wrong? Daniela gets it. And in today's episode, she shares her highs and lows of her business journey whilst being a mum and studying, and how God helped her rebuild her business back again. Get your cup of drink, mama. You're going to want to listen to this. Hey, mamas. Welcome back to the Mums Can podcast. My name is Kashina, and today we have the beautiful, the amazing Daniela Genus. How are you, Daniela?
I'm great. I'm feeling good. Looking forward to talking to you.
Yay. I'm so excited to have you. For the mums who don't know, Daniela is the founder of She's the Boss, lecturer, speaker. You've been on a radio show, radio presenter. I mean, the list is endless. Mm-hmm. She's also studied, has an MA, has an MBA. She is phenomenal. You're going to hear more about it. Stay with us until the end, everyone. You're going to want to listen to this, okay? There's so much to glean, but before we start, Daniela, tell us a bit about you, about your family, about your business.
Mm-hmm. So I am mother to a 5-year-old daughter, who I believe was born simply to show me what I am and who I am, because she is the dead stamp of me now. Not me as a child, she is me now. So she is a 30-something year old in a 5-year-old body. So it's been a very interesting journey with her. I married, I like to share because I think it's useful as a point of context. I am Jamaican descent. I class myself as a British-born Jamaican. My husband, however, is Nigerian, so we have like a cross-cultural marriage, and that's also been a really interesting journey. And I would consider myself an entrepreneur. So She's the Boss is my third business. I also have 2 other businesses, so that would make 5 that I'm in the process of launching and kind of doing development work for. And yeah, I'm really passionate about entrepreneurship, about women in business and supporting women in business. So with She's the Boss, although I work with a variety of different clients in a variety of different areas, and male and female, I do have a specific passion for supporting women and mums to grow, to build, to scale their businesses. Perfect. And it's something that I'm pretty good at, actually.
you are successful, and this is the reason why we have you here. I know I can't wait to hear the tips that you have for us. So we're going to get into that a little bit later on. But I think it's amazing that you have so many businesses and your mum. I mean, I know the Mums Can podcast is called the Mums Can, but you are canning. You absolutely.
Well, I'm trying right now. I've got 1 that's in progress. So She's the Boss. The other 2 are, we're developing them, and I have business partners with the other 2, whereas She's the Boss is only mine. So that definitely does make a difference.
Daniela, you are canning. That's what you're doing. You tried to downplay it. You are definitely canning, and I love it. So thank you. Thank you so much. Your story is, and I'm hoping you will share a little bit about it, but your story is, it's a story of highs and lows, determination, kind of losing it all, gaining it all back again, rebuilding, building your legacy, and then a whole shift in life, and then you have a child, and then you go to study, and it's like, how? Like, tell us a little bit about it, because I really find your story amazing.
But you made it sound so much, much more exciting than it is. You made me feel like, oh, I want to listen to that story. That sounds interesting. No, I joke. So I started my first business I kind of started in 2006, officially in 2007, registered it officially in 2009 as a community interest company. And initially started with 3 friends. within a year or two, it was just me running the business, grew the business to 8 members of staff, secured lots of funding, won quite a few awards, was featured in different media publications, did TV, did a bit of radio, and then had to sell the business in 2015. So although the business grew at quite a rapid pace, it wasn't sustainable. We were quite heavily reliant on funding and grants, and also the business was very reliant on me. So although I had staff, I didn't necessarily train the staff or take on the right staff to enable the business for me to be able to delegate kind of some of the key responsibilities within the business. And during that time, like the last year, I realized how big of a problem this was and embarked on an investment process to try and get investment to bring on some kind of specialist staff to support with operations and with sales, because I realized I wasn't that good at sales. But I think I just built that up in my head, because actually I'm not bad at sales at all in this business. So was going through that process, found out I was pregnant, was really excited because the investors had pretty much signed off the investment. And then the day I was due to sign the deal, they called and said, actually, we need to see you hit a sales target. I can't remember what the sales target was, but if you hit that sales target by October, we will release the funds. It was May. My daughter was due in July. I'd gone from 8 members of staff to 1 member of staff who wasn't a salesperson. And my mom was in a different city in intensive care after suffering a variety of different kind of health issues. So I knew I wasn't going to be able to hit the sales target because I was up and down the motorway. I was about to have a baby and I had to make the decision because I knew that I didn't want to have a child and put them straight into nursery. Like I don't really believe in that as a concept. No disrespect to anyone else that does, but it just wasn't something that I wanted to do. And I knew that the business wouldn't be able to continue with just the 1 member of staff and me being at home. So I sold it. Somebody around that time who I was in communication with said he was looking for a business like mine to buy. Would I sell it? And I said, yeah, sure. And sold it. And that was the beginning of the end and the beginning of the beginning, if that makes sense, because it felt like the end at the time, because everything was focused on building that business and this business being a huge success. And not only that, my identity was very much embedded in me being the founder, the CEO, the entrepreneur behind that business. So once that was gone, I really was in a state of, like, I always call it the wilderness. Like, I was in a bit of a wilderness period for a while because I didn't have anything to attach myself to. And I'd always heard people say that they became a mom and they hated the idea that that's all they were, mom. And I never understood it because I'm like, well, obviously you're a mom and you're other things. But because I was no longer other things, I was like, okay, so now I am just a mom. I don't really, there's no other thing that I'm really doing. So I sold the business, it's random. I had my daughter in July, sold the business in August. And then because clearly I just like to do stuff, I started my MBA in the September. So I found something to attach myself to, like, okay, I'm going to study. But even that, I kind of just stepped away from everything to do with entrepreneurship. The personal brand that I'd painstakingly built up over the years, I just kind of put it to one side. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't really engaging. I just focused on being a mom and studying. And it was while studying that I realized this is not going to work for me. I don't want to get a job. I am an entrepreneur at heart. I need to think of another business. And it was pretty easy for me to come up with the concept of the business that I'm doing now, because in my first business, because I'd been quite successful, or outwardly it appeared as though I'd been really successful with the business, people would often come to me and ask me for business advice. So I was kind of doing coaching and a bit of consultancy, but in a very informal way. Yeah. And I was on the MBA learning all of the kind of academic business terminology and methodologies and frameworks. So it seemed obvious that the next choice is, okay, I'm going to set up a business support agency. And when I initially started, the idea was for me to focus purely on working with women. But as time evolved and I started to work with different sets of clients, I realized that actually it's not necessarily a thing that I need to choose between men and women. I'm always, like, I'm a woman, I'm always going to be passionate about supporting women, but there's a lot that I can add to some of the male-led businesses. And a lot of my clients at one point were all, like, I think I had at one point 80% of clients were men. Wow. So I kind of, that was, I relaunched the business in, well, I launched the business in 2018, relaunched under a new brand in 2019, and have been doing that ever since. And the business has been growing, and I've achieved quite a lot of kind of positive results with the clients that I've worked with. So I said before, selling the business was like the beginning of the end and the beginning of the beginning, because as much as I felt like this loss when I sold the business, actually going through that whole journey is what's put me in the position to be here doing what I'm doing now and thoroughly enjoying every minute of it.
Do you know what? I love it, actually, because, and I know you said, oh, you're making it seem like it's a bigger than it is. That is amazing, because actually a lot of people, a lot of mums probably would have given up after they sold the business. I can't even begin to, I'm thinking as a mum, right, being pregnant, my mum's in hospital, really sick. I have to make a choice whether to sell a business or not sell a business while still being able to serve my husband and keep the house together. That's a lot. It's a lot that you went through, and just the emotions of the ups and downs of it. And we all know what hormones do to you, okay? Like, we've all been there. So that must have been such a big decision for you to make. But you didn't give up. You didn't give up. And I think that's the beauty of it. Whether it, different moms want to do different things, okay? And it could be that you just want to stay home and homeschool, and that's okay. You might want to start a business, you might want to study, but it's so easy to think that it's not possible, I can't do it. But actually what you're saying is you can, but you're going to have to think of another way around it. You may have setbacks, and like, God does this sometimes, right? He's like, okay, no, but don't worry, I got something better for you over here. So that's okay. Just trust me in the process. Just trust me on the journey. I've got you. But don't give up. Don't give up on it. And mamas, I got something for you. Daniela and I have, wait for it. We both did a 5K run last week. Yes, we did. And like, I'm excited about it, because we don't run. I mean, I really don't do long distance running at all. And I remember as I was doing the couch to 5K, at the beginning, I was like, I hate this. Like, I just downright, I don't want to do it. Unfortunately, my friend forced me into it. I'm a little bit competitive. She put me in a group. I couldn't go out because at the bottom, it says Kashina has left the group, and I didn't want anyone to see that. So I ended up in this couch to 5K, right? But when I went to go do the 5K a few weeks later on, it went from, oh, you did 2K last week, so you can do it and you are going to do it. Let's keep it moving, please. And I suppose for you, it's, okay, we have done a business before. It worked. We're going to do this again. Let's go, please. Come on. Let's keep it moving. Mm-hmm. And it's mindset. It's mindset and mentality. And actually what you're showing us, what you're showing me is, if your mindset's right, with God on your side, you can. And now it's not just one business, which you had before. You're now onto business number 3, 4, 5. Do you see what I mean? So it's so inspirational. Your story is so inspirational. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. Okay, so mamas, Daniela has a YouTube channel. She's the boss. And on it, you have inspirational women coming on, talking about their entrepreneurial journey, absolutely phenomenal stories. But you also talk about the strategies, the systems, and the processes that you put in place for businesses or entrepreneurs so that their business can flourish and kind of work themselves. And I know on a lot of the other podcasts that you've spoken on, you talk a lot about the business side of things, but how does this all work as a mom? Do you know what I mean? Like, how does it, does it work?
Well, this is the thing. And this is why I'm all about the systems and processes, because if you want to be successful in your career and be a mom, you have to implement systems and processes in your home as well as in your business or in your work, because otherwise everything becomes overwhelming. And also you can start to experience mom guilt if they're not core ways of doing things. So for example, in my home, every Sunday we have movie night, and it's a non-negotiable. We have to sit down as a family, we'll have dinner, and then we'll sit in the front room and we will watch a film together with popcorn, and then my daughter goes to bed. Anything that I choose to do after that is fine, but afternoon to the evening belongs to the family. So that's one of the kind of things that we've implemented in our house. We've also looked at stuff around outsourcing. So I have a cleaner, and this sounds really, I'm sure it sounds to some people like a luxurious thing. Like, why does she have a cleaner? That's so excessive. However, I'm a clean freak. I need my house to be clean for me to be able to function. And I work from home. Mm. And what I was finding is I'd be in the house and I wouldn't be getting work done because I'd be packing and unpacking the dishwasher, I'll be sweeping the floor, I'll be hoovering, because I can't work in mess. So me and my husband sat down and said, how do we work this out? We're going to get a cleaner. So we have a cleaner that comes every Friday that deep cleans the house so we can start from scratch. I still do some cleaning in between because I'm a bit of a clean freak and I can't help myself. But I know that every Friday the house is going to be reset, and therefore anything I do for the rest of the week is maintenance. When my daughter comes in from school, because she's been going to school, thank God, during this latest lockdown. But again, there's a process. So she comes in, she's allowed to watch TV for 10 to 15 minutes. Then we do homework, and I do a homework with her. We do 20 to 30 minutes every evening. After that, we can have free time. So we'll play games or read books or whatever. And then she can watch a little bit of TV before dinner. She's used to that. That's how it goes. And it's those kind of things that I really try to share with any of the moms that I work with. You need to have processes, you need to outsource certain things. Even the other day, the washing was getting too much. There was just washing everywhere. And the clean washing was piling up in the spare room. The dirty washing was piling up there's a dry cleaners around the corner. They do a delivery service. They came, collected my black bags, brought them back. Everything was washed, folded, and just needed to be put away. Now, my thing is, the more time I have to work on my business, the more money I can make to pay for those things to give me more time to work on my business to make more money. And I think sometimes we, as mums, we take on too much and we want to be everything and do everything. And I have to be able to cook dinner every single day and the house has to be spotless and I have to be able to do this. Where is the time for you? Yeah. And for me, time for myself and downtime is also very important because I'm doing a lot of the time. So on the weekends, do I want to be cleaning my house from top to bottom? No. So I have a cleaner. Do I want to be spending every evening folding clothes? No. So sometimes, and I don't do this, I do it probably once a month, I'll get the people to come and collect it and wash and fold it for me. And I think the kind of, and I have the same mentality in my home life as I do in my business life, and I share this from a business perspective a lot. I always come to the decision that I want something, I therefore need to work out how long it's going to take me to generate the income to get it and generate that income. And it was the same with the cleaner. Okay, if we want a cleaner every week, this is how much it's going to cost, so I need to be generating this amount of money to cover that cost, or we collectively as a household need to. We set the date, we hit the goal, we've got the cleaner.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with business. I wanted an assistant. I set a date for when I was going to have the assistant and worked hard to get enough sales in to pay for the assistant for 3 months. Once she's in the door, she gives me more time back. So now I can make more money to pay for the next 3 months, the next 6 months, the next 12 months. So I think from a mother perspective, a wife perspective, for me, managing expectations, but also being clever about how I run the household, not taking on board everything and making sure there are processes for doing things. Even my shopping, I sound so lazy in terms of my house, but I don't care. Shopping, the lockdown is terrible. I've hated every minute of it. One thing I have really loved is that because my husband's got asthma, sounds really terrible, we get a regular slot with Asda. So I don't have to go shopping anymore because every week the Asda comes and delivers the food. Again, there's so many moms that refuse to do stuff like that and will force them, I have to do the shopping and I have to. No, look, try to be smart. So it's about being smarter in how you run your household, not working harder, not staying up later. I don't believe in all that. I like to go to bed when it's bedtime. So I'm tired. Like, when it's time to go to sleep, I'm going to bed. I haven't got to, I'm not going to be down here mopping floors at midnight when I've just finished doing all this work. No, so we outsource. Work smarter, not hard.
I absolutely love it. Do you know what? I wish my husband was here listening right now. I know he's going to be listening back because he's going to be like, I told you, Kashina, I told you. Because he usually does the ironing, right? He's like, I'm paying for someone to iron the clothes. I don't like ironing the clothes. And I'm like, yeah, all right, babes. Okay. But now I could go to him tonight and be like, actually, Daniela said that it'd be a good idea.
I hate ironing. It's right. If you ever see me in the streets and you see me in creased clothes, just let it be known that I don't care. I don't iron. I hate ironing. Therefore, if I can outsource it, I'm going to outsource that too. Like, why on earth not? And I think also sometimes from a cultural perspective, I think a lot of the time women of colour, we take in a lot from culture and we're not supposed to do that. That's not our thing. Mm. We don't live like that. And actually, I'm not putting that burden on my back. It's hard. Like, when we think about our parents and our grandparents, yeah, they would do it. Like, my grandma had 5 kids. And she was working, but was she happy? I don't know. Like, it doesn't sound like happiness to me. And for me, what is more important? Is it wearing this badge of I am a super mom and I'm a fantastic wife, I'm a fantastic mom, I'm fantastic at business, but I'm exhausted.
Literally.
Don't want that badge. No, I don't. I want to be happy. I want to be able to relax.
I think.
And go to my bed without having to worry about ironing clothes.
Or mopping floors. I think this is freeing. It's freeing for me and it's going to be freeing for a lot of mamas. So mum, if you're listening and you're thinking, do you know what, yes, today things are going to change, like, let us know in the comments below. Come and find us at Preparing the Home or see Daniela at She's the Boss UK on Instagram and let us know what you're thinking, because smarter. Daniela's saying smarter, work smarter, don't work more. We need our sleep. Sleep is precious. I don't know about you, but there's not many nights that I get to sleep throughout the whole night, okay? I can't remember the last time I slept throughout the whole night. So if we could get to bed on time and still run a business and still look after our household, and if that means outsourcing some of the things, so be it. If that's how businesses function, at the beginning they might do everything, but then when they want to get to the next level, they need to delegate. Delegate, it's called delegation. Let's make it sound pretty. Delegation, let's delegate it to the person who we are paying to clean the house once a week or once a month. I had somebody else, a friend as well, who said, even if it's not that you're doing business, she did say exactly the same thing about being super mom, how pay someone to clean for 2 hours so you can sit and play with your kids for 2 hours. Or sit and read for 2 hours. It might not be business, but if you're feeling super overwhelmed and burnt out and exhausted from the pressures of everything, and let's face it, even if we're talking about culturally, if we're talking about back home, some of them had maids. Let's go to the Bible. They had maids. Proverbs 31 woman was there with her maids, please. Like, she didn't do it all by herself. It says that she had her hand servant, her maid servant, and they were there helping out. So it doesn't make us less of a mum. Because we're getting help in certain places.
At all. And it's funny because I've heard people that are Jamaican particularly saying, I can't believe that you've got a cleaner. You're supposed to clean up after yourself. And I'm like, do you realise that so many people in Jamaica right now have helpers? Mm. Like, in Jamaica. So forget the fact that you're Jamaican. In Jamaica right now, I know many, many people with helpers. Helpers are ironing their clothes, they're cleaning their house, and cooking their dinner. So, no, I'm not going to be made to feel away or to feel embarrassed about the fact that I've got some help, because as you quite rightly said, even if I wasn't running a business and I was just in some sort of high-flying career job, which I would be if I wasn't, I'd still do it, because again, as you said, do I want to spend time doing these things, or do I want to spend time sleeping so that on Saturday I can play with my daughter and be energized and not be stressed out and exhausted?
Yeah, definitely. And so I think it's not even about that you can't, it's about how can I? And when you change it, I love the fact that you said that you and your husband, you sit down, okay, if we want to do this, and we're not talking about taking out debt to be able to get cleaner, that we're not talking about that. Let's not do that. That's not cute.
No.
It's not cute. But you had a game plan. Okay, how much would it cost to have a cleaner every month, every week? Okay, well, this is the goal that we need to reach. Work hard. Let's work hard so we can reach that goal, so we can have the cleaner. So we have to be smart about all of it. So I love this because it's showing us a different way. I think sometimes, in the nicest way possible, we're like, I'm going to pray it in. And the money's just going to fall from the sky and we're going to be able to get this cleaner. Like, no, God says that we must be doers, not just hearers. Mm-hmm. So it means we have to do. Faith without works is dead. Like, we have to do the work as well whilst we're praying along. And so if you want to do business, if you want to learn a language, if you want to study, you can't just expect God to just drop it in your lap. We have to work, and to be able to do it effectively, we have to work smart. We have to work smart, not watching our friend who doesn't have children, who's running a business and absolutely smashing it. We can smash it too, but we just have to work differently to the way that they're working. Which does bring me on to one of your YouTube videos that I saw. It was the challenges of being a new mum starting a business. It was a few years old, but it was fantastic because you were just so real about some of the challenges that mums face. So mamas, if you haven't seen it, I will put the link below to Daniela's YouTube videos. I highly recommend it because it's just honest. You know, sometimes you see successful people and they don't tell you the truth about what's behind it. Don't worry, Daniela will tell you. It's all in there. So you check out the video. Check it out. It's down there.
This is the thing. This is something that I've always tried to do, is to be very honest and very open about the challenges and the struggles, because I personally find it very obnoxious when I hear people just talking about the good stuff. And I'm like, stop lying. It can't have all been good. It's not possible. Why are you lying? It really irritates me. Sometimes I overshare a little bit much, but I think it's important. Like,
it has
people
to
need
be.
To know the real deal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because then you don't feel bad when the hard times come. And the reality is it's going to come. It's going to happen. I remember after I had the girls, so for those who are just listening in, my husband and I, we have 7-year-old triplet girls and we have a 4-year-old son. And after having the girls, I remember thinking, like, I grew up in the church. I was like, these church women lied to me because nobody told me it was going to be hard. All of your kids are sitting in the church looking nice and cute, nice and pretty, sitting down saying, yes, mom, no, mom. And I'm like, what is this mess? So I'm 100% with you. Just tell me the truth, please. And at least then I can make a game plan for it. My life might not turn out like yours did, but I'm the type of person, I don't need to be making the same mistakes you made. I don't need to do that. I will learn from your mistakes, because I'm just not that girl. So I appreciate your honesty, because even in my business, it's nice to know that I'm not alone. And there are challenges, but it doesn't mean that you have to give up. So this brings me on to my next question, which is, have you ever felt at any point along your journey like giving up?
A few times. But here's the thing. My giving up is not the standard giving up. Because giving up to me has never meant I'm not going to be in business anymore. It meant at the time, maybe it's not this business, maybe I need to do a different business. I haven't felt like that since starting She's the Boss, to be honest, because I learned from my previous mistakes, everything's gone relatively smoothly. But definitely with the first business, there was several times where I'm just like, you know what, this is just a bit too stressful. One of the probably the most significant time was when a staff member of mine was taking me, well, an ex-staff member, taking me to an employment tribunal for £30,000.
Oh.
And I remember during that time, saying, I cannot with this. I don't want to. And it was a really trying time just generally, because that was going on. Then the person that had been brought in to replace her, she had pretty much spent her whole time in the employment working out how she could take the concept that I'd employed her to commercialize to start her own business. And that's what she left to go and do. So I remember during that period, like a big chunk of my hair right here, or no one could, we can't see, in the back of my head, like in the center, a chunk of my hair, probably about the size of the old 50 pence pieces, so the big ones, just fell out of my head. And I remember I had breakouts, and I've never had breakouts before. I was really run down, and I was just like, this is not worth it. And I remember a specific point, and this is where I had to really pray hard. And the insurance company that was supporting me through the process, and they were providing me with legal representation, I remember the guy called me and said, look, we're gonna have to settle, because the HR advice that I'd got from a different company prior to firing this girl, they'd given me the wrong advice. So they were saying, look, there's a 50% chance of you winning, but there's also a 50% chance of her winning, because you didn't do the right process. And they're apparently, they will only fight it if it's like over 50% chance. Yeah. So they said, we're gonna have to settle. Thankfully, at this point, we'd gone from 30 grand down to like 2.5. And they said that they would cover some of it. And I remember being absolutely enraged. And I always remember I was in my car outside the office, and I remember punching the steering wheel. Yeah. And it was at that point that I said, no, you need to stop and you need to pray, because there's clearly a reason that you're going through this, and it's getting out of control. Because why am I punching steering wheels? Just furious. And I couldn't even, like, I'm generally quite a measured person. I'd say I'm quite flat, actually. I don't really have many ups, and I'm just flat. And I remember I wasn't able to even be flat when I was speaking to the solicitor. I remember screaming down the phone. And it was, I screamed on the phone, then I hung up, and then I punched the steering wheel, and I was like, no, literally, Jesus, take the wheel, please, because I cannot with this. And I say that was probably the closest that I've ever been to say, look, I'm not interested, this is too much. And I think that's those experiences, and there was many other, it was always related to staff, actually, which is why I really talk a lot at the moment about making sure you make the right choices when taking on staff into your business. Because a lot of the times where I did think this is just a bit much, it was because of staff related issues. And because of that, I am very wary now of taking on staff ever again, because I just think I'm not a very good judge of character. And I don't want to ever be in a position where I feel like I want to give up because of somebody else.
Definitely, which I guess is the reason why you're so passionate about what you do. And so if there's a mama who's listening in, like, I'm actually in a similar situation, I want to expand the business, I need staff members, I don't really know where to go, once again, Daniela is your girl. So I'm going to put Daniela's details below, and you will be able to contact her either via website or via her Instagram as well. So thank you so much for that. And I think this kind of touches on the question that I had next, which was, how has your faith helped you along that journey? Because it seems like at that time, you literally were like, God, take it, take it, please.
And the thing is, I love this whole thing about faith without works, and it's something that I live by, because I think looking around, there's so many people that want quick wins, that want to be a millionaire overnight, and use their faith as an excuse for not doing anything, because actually I prayed, God is going to bring it to me. And I don't understand that as a concept. Whereas for me, it's, I prayed and I'm doing, so therefore God is going to bring it to me. And that's been really instrumental in my journey, just across, and knowing that whatever happens, and I say this in, if I'm totally honest, I say this in reflection, because a lot of the time in it, I'm saying the prayers and I'm hoping that this is going to work itself out. But it's only afterwards that I'm like, right, we knew it was going to work out. We just needed to really believe it. And it's this idea of, it's either you worry or you have faith. You can't have both at the same time. And I think that it's inhuman. It's inhuman. Like, it's not possible for me to not worry. And I have faith that it's going to work out. But and this is where I get into a lot of arguments with other faith-based people, because I feel that I'm quite a questioning person. I question a lot of things. And me and my husband, we go back and forth with this, because my thing always is, but what if, so we're saying God's going to find a way, but what if God's way is for him not to show me a way for this bad thing to happen for something else happened down the line. And I've never understood this concept that you just have to pray and have faith and you can't be worried that it's not going to be the outcome that you want. Because actually, even if we look at my example, the outcome that I wanted wasn't to sell my business. The outcome that I wanted was for the business to get investment and grow and all these amazing things.
Yeah.
But actually, was that the outcome that I needed? No, the outcome that I needed was what happened.
Yeah.
Because then it's led me to here.
Yeah.
Now, if we're going to say we're only going to focus on faith when it works in the way that we want it to work, we're going to be consistently let down and disappointed. So I take a very different approach to most people in that I have faith that it's going to work out, but I am worried that it might not work out in the way that I want it to. But I also have faith that in the end, it's going to be fine.
I love it.
And that's literally, yeah, that's pretty much how I've dealt with everything. So even last week I pitched for like the biggest piece of work that I've ever pitched for, and I prayed like before I did the pitch. I wrote, and I don't think I've ever even done this, I had post-it notes all over my table and was writing prayers, and the last thing that I wrote was, if this is not for me, then don't let it be for me. I trust that if this is for me, it will be for me.
Yeah.
And I closed my eyes and I said the prayer before I logged on to the Zoom pitch, Brenda, and smashed the pitch. I did a fantastic job. My assistant was on the call, and afterwards she was saying, you have to have got that. It was amazing. I said to my husband, if they give this to anyone else, clearly this is not supposed to be for me, because I hit every single point.
Yeah.
They were supposed to let me know the next day. They didn't. And I said to my husband, I haven't got it. And he was like, oh, maybe you said you've done a really good job. Maybe they're just taking time. Maybe something's happened. I said, I haven't got it. And it's because I'm not supposed to get it. And I also started to panic, thinking, if I did get it, do I really want to manage this? Because I'm going to have to push out all of the other things that I had decided that I wanted to do in the next quarter.
Yeah.
And the fact that that panic came in made me feel like this is not supposed to be for me, because if it was for me, I shouldn't be feeling like, oh my gosh, I kind of would prefer if I didn't get it. The following day comes, I didn't get it. And there's been other times in my life where I've gone for opportunities and it's not gone the way that I wanted to, and I've been devastated.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't one of those. Even though it was the biggest kind of monetary contract that I think I've probably ever gone for.
Yeah.
I knew that I did a good job. I did. Like, there's no two ways about it. And then funnily enough, somebody called me afterwards who was involved in the process and said, look, they've given it to somebody that they already knew, but you were in the final two.
Yeah.
And I said, it's fine. Like, I wasn't even upset. And I prayed again and I said, I knew this wasn't for me, so show me what is for me. And it's weird, because I'd been going through this period of probably the last couple of weeks where I haven't necessarily been as focused on what I'm doing as I normally am. Since then, razor sharp focus, like the last 2 days even have been probably my most productive in several weeks.
Wow.
And I believe that that's because I had allocated in my head, if I get this contract, this is the amount of time I'm going to have to allocate. And actually, I've already allocated that time, but I don't have, nothing's filling it.
Yeah.
So now I've got all this time to do all of these big plans that I had for my other business that I'm trying to start. So I'm going to do that. So to go back to your original question, because I'm going to go round and around. For me, faith is just trusting and knowing that whatever the outcome, I'm going, like God is going to take me in the direction that I'm supposed to go in. And that's showed up so many times in my life. So the obviously in terms of my entrepreneurial career, but even in terms of the house that I'm in at the moment, me and my husband decided that we wanted to buy a house. We worked out how much we needed to saved that amount. And I love to tell this story, so I'm just going to tell it.
No way.
We went looking for houses, couldn't find, I'm sure we weren't even looking for that long. I'm just impatient, right? So couldn't find any house that we liked. So I went and got a whiteboard and I drew the floor plan of the house that I wanted and put it on the kitchen countertop where we were living before. And within a couple of days, an estate agent or property developer salesperson calls to say that a development that had previously sold out, one of the houses, the mortgage has fallen through. Do we want to come and have a look? And the lady said the number of bedrooms. And in my head, I was like, that sounds like a huge house. We can't afford it. Bye. And I said, bye. Went downstairs. I told my husband and he was like, but you didn't even ask how much it was. Call them back and let's arrange. So, it's just me. So we've called them back, went to the sales showroom, whatever you call it, and the house hadn't been built, so she took out a floor plan. And no word of a lie, the floor plan was the same as the floor plan that I'd drawn that was on the whiteboard, but with an extra bedroom.
Wow.
And when I say the same, I mean, I've kept the whiteboard. Like, I'm too terrified to rub it off because I just think it's such a powerful thing to see. The only difference was the house was flipped. So when she showed me the floor plan, she said, this floor plan is the same, but the house, like, everything's going to be on the other side.
Yeah.
But it was exactly the same as what I had drawn on the whiteboard. And I'm sitting in that house now.
Wow.
That for me is the power of trusting and believing and following God's plan for your life.
100%.
And from that specific example, I've created a whole service offer that is based on that. So something that I call Vision 20 is the principle of, so I do a half day session. I go through with my clients, a 3-year vision for their life and get them to really break it down into detail in the same way that I did with so many other things, because that's just one of the biggest examples, but there's many others. And we go through that process and map it out. And then I get them to print it out and put it on their wall. And I've had clients that have achieved 3-year visions in 6 months, in 12 months, because they've seen it and they've started to do the things that they need to do to achieve it in the same way that we did that. So faith is important to me because I know that, he's never steered me in the wrong direction.
I love it.
That sounded weird
it.
In my head for some reason.
No, I love it. I'm a little bit gobsmacked. I'm like, I need to get a whiteboard. I need to do. Put it into the kingdom, and when you put it into the kingdom, God was able to step up and do release it. Like, you released it to him. Okay, here you go, here's my loaf, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Was it the other way around? Like, make a miracle happen out of this. Mm-hmm. And the miracle happened. And I think it's profound, because if you are a mom who's listening and you want to do business, and we're talking to like mums of faith, right? Don't try to do it without God. don't do that. Like, make sure that you have him in every step or every part of your journey, because you're going to need him, because he's the one who has everything. It doesn't mean that you don't do anything. You have to work. Like, we have to work, but he will bless your efforts and he will bless what you are doing. Mm-hmm. And I really like, I like what you said, that I do trust God and I want things to happen the way that I want it to happen. But the reality is, it doesn't always, half the time it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. We think we know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, but anything can happen, but God knows. Mm-hmm. And so we really mm-hmm. do have to, my friend calls it those dangerous prayers. Where it's like, okay, if it's not for me, it's okay. And actually be okay with it. Because he's the one who knows, and he literally has our best interest at heart. Sometimes we forget that, I think, and we think, oh mm-hmm. my goodness, this is so detrimental, it's so terrible. No, he actually wants the best for you. He doesn't want to destroy you. He loves you so much, and he wants to give us good gifts. So it's a really, really powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing with us. So we are coming to the end. And I love to always give a secret question.
I'm scared.
So the secret question is, it's a nice one. If you had a day to yourself, no business, no housework, what would you do?
Oh, I can answer that one. Well, I'd go to the spa. I am dying. To go to the spa. When I saw that they said spas were opening, I was like, praise the Lord. Because yeah, that is my Zen space, my relaxing space. Like, that's the time where I'm able to clear my brain, but also fill my brain. And I always say this to my clients, we often feel like if we're not doing anything, we're missing out on something, but actually not doing anything adds so much. because you give your brain the space to come up with new ideas, to solve problems, because you stopped being in it. And sometimes you need to step back to be able to look at something holistically. So I'm not saying I'd go to the spa to be business planning and strategy planning, but by clearing my brain, then I'm sure on the way, the drive home, new things will pop into my head. But yeah, the spa, get a nice massage, eat a lovely lunch, drink some Prosecco, listen to an audiobook. I can't do it, honestly.
You're already there, aren't you?
Yeah.
I saw you go there in your mind.
I went. I would love, I can't wait to do it, honestly. I cannot wait. In fact, I've already arranged with my friend that, yeah, once they're open properly, I'm not just going to go for a day, I'm going to go for a weekend. I've never done a full weekend at a spa because it's so expensive. But after the year that I've been through, I'm making that investment. It's necessary.
Listen, it has to be. I told my husband, I'm sorry, we'd literally have to put some money aside, because as soon as things open, you're not going to see me. All the kids, we're yeah. going out. You can take the time off work, you can stay at work, I don't know what you're doing. Yeah, out of here,
something's gonna get done.
So love sure. it, mamas as well. Even in your secret question, you're giving advice. Take time to stop, because actually even in stopping, mm-hmm. you will be able to be more creative and receive more inspiration. So Daniela, it has been absolutely fantastic speaking to you. I've learned so much. I know the mamas listening have learned so much. Your story is inspirational. Like, God has blessed you abundantly, and I pray he'll continue to bless you abundantly and your family. Before we go, can you just let the mamas know where they can find you?
So I spend far too much time on Instagram. She's the Boss UK, like far too much time on trying to spend a little bit less time, because also I've recently joined Clubhouse at She's the Boss INTL. So you can connect with me there, and I'm going to be trying to be a little bit more active there, because apparently it's the next big thing we should all be in. I'm also on LinkedIn, Daniela Genus. Obviously you said I'm on YouTube, She's the Boss, and I also have my website, which is shesthebossintl.com, and you can connect with me on any of those platforms.
Excellent. Mamas, don't worry, I'm going to put all of those details in the show notes below. Daniela, thank you once again for joining us. And mamas, remember that mums can do all things through Christ who gives them strength. Have a wonderful day. Ciao.
Thank you.
Hey, mama. Thanks for listening in to today's podcast. For more resources, you can go to my website at www.preparingthehome.co.uk, where you can get more blogs, freebies, and a chance to sign up to the routine course for the busy mum. Here, you'll learn how to create your own personalised routine for you and your family, so you can do the things you love with the people that you love. I want to thank you so much for listening and for sharing with all the mums around the world. You are amazing. You can do all things. Ciao, mama.